You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology with your hosts, Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 226 of the Shared Security Show. And joining me this week is our professionally evil co-host, Kevin Johnson. Welcome, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
And I'd like to welcome back someone who has been living the American dream without the violence since 1867, our Canadian co-host, Mr. Scott Wright.
Great trivia. I personally haven't been living it since 1867, but yes.
I was going to say, you just made Scott really old. And I thought you were going to say the American dream, but with healthcare. And
that's a good one as well. And I got that phrase from there's a new show on Netflix called The Pentaverate with Mike Myers. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's really, really
good. Don't know
it. Really good. Okay.
It's
a movie or a series?
It's a series. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about conspiracy theories. Yeah.
Netflix keeps telling me, you should probably watch this.
Yeah.
Instead, I started watching on Paramount Plus, and no, this is not a pimp of Paramount Plus. No, I'm sorry, Discovery Plus,
yes.
Which I watch way too much of because I like cooking shows because I can't cook. I just started watching Million Dollar Wheels, which is the series about jackholes in California selling ridiculously expensive cars. And what I have found is, I'm just not cool enough to understand 90% of what they say. Like, they use words, and I recognize the words as English or forms of English.
Right.
I literally watched I have it in the background, right? Like, I'm working on slides or something like that, and it's playing in the background for noise. And I actually stopped last night and backed up the show to listen to the interaction between three of these salespeople. And, I finished it, and I have absolutely zero idea what they said. They discuss things like, would you take 20 bands for that? No, I'll take 30 bands for that. Oh, man, this is lit. And I was like, I know they're speaking English, but I'm too old and uncool to understand what they meant.
Yes.
Think they were talking about money. And
probably.
So, yeah,
but
I'm old.
Yeah, I highly recommend that show, especially for you, Scott, since Mike Myers is from Ontario. So
yes, he is from Toronto.
He is a Canuck. So,
yep. And the year is a reference to when the Canadians burned our capital, right?
No, it's a reference of Confederation.
Yes, Confederation. Exactly.
Okay.
When Canada became independent of, in a very nice way, we became independent of England.
But don't you still have the English Queen on your money?
Sometimes.
Sometimes
we have a beaver.
Some of the money.
Sometimes we have a beaver. Sometimes we have a caribou.
Sometimes you have maple syrup. So, yeah.
So we have maple syrup, caribou, beaver, and the queen. Yes. What is the commonality here?
Oh, don't forget
everything
hockey.
Everything on the Canadian money.
Yeah.
And don't you have something called a loony?
Yeah.
That's a bird.
$1 coin. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm catching up.
I don't have one on me.
I'm one of those dumb Americans. I don't know.
In fact, we have a $2 coin. Guess what it's called?
A double loony?
A toonie.
Oh, God.
Well, there you have it, folks. We've definitely educated everyone on Canada.
Don't say we don't have culture.
That's right. That's right. You're too nice. You're too nice.
Oh, man.
So before we jump into the stories, I did want to give a shout out to Josh Summers from the All Things Secured channel on YouTube for giving us a shout out. Much appreciated. A little bit of a fanboy over here because, you know, Josh is definitely a famous YouTuber. So thanks for the shout out. Much appreciated. He had a great episode on iOS versus Android, you know, similar topic to what we talked about a few episodes ago. And so we'll have a link in the show notes to check it out and check out his channel. This channel is really awesome.
I'm embarrassed to say that I had not heard of his channel until you sent the link out. And I skimmed it real quick, and I plan on absolutely watching more of his stuff. It looks interesting.
Yeah, it is, definitely. So, and we have 600 subscribers on our YouTube channel officially. So thanks to all of you for subscribing to us as we see the channel grow. That's awesome.
So and they're not my fake YouTube account.
And they're not all fake accounts. It's amazing.
Oh, I didn't say they weren't fake accounts. I said they're not my fake accounts. I have no idea if they're fake accounts or not.
Well, thank you, Kevin, if they are fake accounts. Appreciate that. So let's jump into our first story, which is Apple Mail now blocks email tracking. This actually came out a while ago with iOS 15. So I don't know why it's making the rounds now, and maybe the media is just late to the game, but this is actually a pretty cool thing that it goes beyond the, you know how email clients have always had image blocking, right? Like when you download the email, you'll everything's X'd out and you have to hit download images. This is very different. What Apple's doing is actually proxying your email to basically a proxy service that they control. It downloads all of the tracking pixels, all the pictures and everything to make it look like you've opened up the email, but then they forward the email off to you. So to the person sending the email or the company or the marketing company, all they're getting back is Apple's proxy service, essentially, which protects your privacy because that would mean your IP address, if you opened up the email, timestamps, geolocation, all the things that could potentially be tracked through you opening up that email is now blocked. So pretty cool.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's something that I've seen for a while. Obviously, you know, as a startup, we've got, you know, CRM, customer relationship management software, sends out stuff. And, you know, you try and see how many people open the emails, and they use the tracking pixels.
Yep.
To tell you how many people opened it based on how many of those images were viewed. And a lot of times people don't have viewing turned on, but Apple certainly made a big splash there with respect to, I don't know if they were blocking them before, but now they're downloading all of them, right? It's not actually blocking them.
Right. It's not blocking
according them. According to the article, it caches everything.
Yes.
And so
basically the marketer is overwhelmed with everything being opened, and it's opened from a set of IP addresses do not reveal the private, you know, the actual IP of the end.
I love it.
So the marketing people are euphoric because everybody's opening all their email, and then they go and have unicorn for lunch, and then they're
unicorn for lunch. Oh, but vegan unicorn.
There's probably a morph you can do from tofu and tofunicorn. No, I don't know.
Now I can't say it. Now I'm gonna struggle with that one.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you.
All that to say, I think this is actually going to screw up a lot of people's phishing simulations, because when you send phishing simulation messages, one of the things companies do is they check to see how many people actually opened it, as well as how many people clicked on the links.
And somebody who is very against phishing simulations, I'm glad that it's messing those up.
Yes, me too. Well, I'm not supposed to be biased on this stuff, but
I'm biased. I'm totally biased. I just had a thread on Twitter where I said I was biased. And
There's a place for it. A very small place, but there is a place. the problem is that companies like to try to interpret the click data, the click rates, based on how many people actually opened it, because you actually get some smaller number of people than who you sent it out to, right? And that makes your click rate actually look worse. So you can justify your existence easier. But now everybody opens it.
Yeah.
But only if they're using Apple Mail.
Yeah, well, yes, but yeah.
That's correct, which is a large percentage of people, I'm sure. And I mean, you have to turn this feature on. So it's important to note that as well. You just
really?
Go into your, it's not on by default. So what they will prompt you, like if you just get a new iPhone and you just set up your email as an example, you'll get a prompt. You want to turn this on, but you can go into your mail setting on your iPhone or I believe if you have a Mac, you can do this as well in the settings to turn that on if you want to have that feature. But yeah, definitely benefits from a privacy perspective, but also some interesting things for people that actually need to track or market people. And some people like to have, you know, marketing emails, and maybe you want people to know or certain companies to know who you are. It would be interesting to see if in the future you could dial that into, you can allow certain emails and then others, you know, kind of like a whitelist, right?
Yeah.
Approach might be neat. But cool.
That's it is cool.
So imagine this scenario. You're out of the office unexpectedly, and a colleague pings you because they need access to some system you have credentials for. Now, our listeners would never send passwords over email or Slack, right? But what about your coworkers? How many organizations out there are sending logins back and forth in plain text? Worse yet, how many just store all of their logins on a shared spreadsheet? We all know that human errors are the biggest threat to your organization's security. But did you know that weak or stolen passwords account for over 80% of all data breaches? Now, there are tools out there that can allow you to share credentials, set access permissions, and monitor the dark web for stolen logins. And Keeper Security's enterprise password management platform does just that. Keeper locks down logins, payment cards, confidential documents, API keys, and database passwords in a patented zero-knowledge encrypted vault. And it takes less than an hour to deploy across your organization. Sign up for a Keeper free trial for your organization today and get a free 3-year personal plan. Stop sharing emails and spreadsheets with the keys to the kingdom. Get started by visiting keepersecurity.com/sharedsecurity. So let's get into our segment called Aware Much.
Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome.
Yes.
I love how he says it.
Aware Much.
A little sound bite there for you.
Yeah.
People thought that was funny. Yeah.
So this week we're talking about some recommendations that for some reason seem new, but I think a lot of security professionals have been recommending for a long time. But from the FBI and the NSA, we're getting some, you know, pretty good recommendations, no doubt about it. You know, use multi-factor authentication. Make sure your privileges and permissions are applied properly. Make sure your software is up to date. You know, just generally good guidance. But it's making the news, so we're reporting on it. any thoughts on the article, guys?
You know, this is none of these things in this list of 10. Basically attack vectors, right, that are used by criminals to access systems. You know, these are things we've all known in the industry for a long time. I find it interesting that the government is finally putting something like this together. This is actually very valuable, but it is just kind of confirming things that we know. I find it a little ironic that FBI and NSA, who have been known to violate our privacy and other things for a long time now, you know, are partnering with CISA, which is awesome, which is the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, if you're not aware. And I think they are doing great things. But yeah, it's interesting. And I think definitely worth organizations to take a look at.
I think the one good thing about it, and I totally agree with you. Matter of fact, I said it earlier that you know, I'm glad the government is finally remembering these things are real. But I hope that we hold the government to their own standards. Government agencies should be following all of these, says the guy who just submitted stuff to an agency that did not require MFA or do any of the things I just read. Kind of like do what we say, not what we do. But I think one benefit to this is going to be that as security teams and developers and IT people try to get their companies to pay attention, having the ability to say, look, it's not just me, these people say it, right? I do find it funny as I will acknowledge that when I first read the NSA tells you some things not to get hacked, I thought, ooh, are they going to reveal some techniques? No, patch.
People. You know, what I think is kind of interesting about this is, you know, as Tom and Kevin said, it's kind of good that they're, you know, recommending these things, but, you know, they're not known to be the most, you know, efficient at following these. What it tells me is maybe there's another one that they didn't put on the list that they can actually exploit.
They didn't put their back door on the list. Yeah.
I think it's more that they looked at it and said, people aren't going to do this anyways, so it's okay. Yeah. It doesn't hurt us.
That's right. I think that's right. Cool. So yeah, that's it for our article sponsored by ClickArmor. This is the first gamified a security awareness training and engagement platform that really helps in a positive, inclusive way, build a security culture for your team. And it's something that is really useful, especially in situations like remediation, right? How many times do you do phishing simulations and you get the same people failing and you send them back to take the same training and then they keep failing, right? So what if you had a different way to engage people actually to learn these things? And you might see a difference. So check out clickarmor.ca and we'll help you get there and in a fun way.
And and it's better than sending phishing emails to your employees.
Absolutely. Yes. As we talked about earlier in this section. Yes. Yeah, I've done many posts on LinkedIn. So I do invite people to connect with me on LinkedIn as well, Scott Wright. And I love to engage with people on topics like risk management and phishing and security awareness. So yeah, join me there. So that's it for this episode of Aware Much.
I want to welcome you both to the era of the hyper-surveilled office, as the title of this article states.
Is so, your boss watching?
Yes, is Big Brother watching? Is it 1984 or is it 2022? Book reference, if you didn't get that. But so this is interesting to me, just in terms of more and more companies are finding ways to monitor their employees, right? This is all pandemic induced, right? Where, you know, more people have been working remote. And some employers feel that they need to keep an eye on people because maybe they want to make sure that they're actually working at their desk when they say that they're working. And there's all kinds of reasons why employers do this. But I find this fascinating because there's actually a law in New York that just was put into effect that requires firms to tell staff about any electronic monitoring of their phone, email, internet activity. And this is even in cases where, of course, you sign an employee agreement, right? And information security policies and other things say that, you know, you have no right to privacy, that you could be monitored, all this. But now there's a law coming out that says we had to disclose this to people. And first of all, I'm not a fan of this type of tech, you know, coming from, you know, just my background of, you know, I put a lot of trust into my employees as a manager and a leader. And
you
I think,
should.
And as Sorry. You should, you hire people for a job, you expect them to do that job. And there's, of course, other ways to know if somebody isn't doing their job. But I don't believe that surveillance in very invasive surveillance monitoring is a solution to that. I think that just makes things worse.
I mean, let me be blunt. Okay. Right off the bat, let's ignore the privacy concerns. Let's ignore the how much of a jackhole you have to be to think, you know what I should do? I should monitor everything my people do. Let's ignore all of those things. Let's ignore that for a second. Let's ignore the fact that you suck as a manager, if that is what you need. And you should feel bad and go to your parents and apologize to them for embarrassing them because you exist. Let's ignore all of that. I hope I'm not coming across with my bias. But let's discuss the security ramifications of logging everything your people do. And if I, as a tester, get access to that, all of a sudden, you've given me a treasure trove. And by the way, if you're monitoring it, you probably have some way to search it, so you made it even easier for me to find it. You've given me the ability to laterally move through your organization because you were so insecure in your ability to lead a team that you felt that invading their privacy was the right way to do it. So you not only are violating the law, you're not only teaching your employees that you suck in every way possible, and you probably should just go die. But you also have weakened the security of your organization and opened up them for attack. So we've seen time and time again where privacy systems like this, invasive private, monitoring systems like this are compromisable. We know that very often these monitoring systems upload what they're doing to a cloud provider or some system, which is also not secure. Let's not go there. Let's just point it out in every way possible. You have failed. You have failed horribly. And my belief is you should be given a Darwin Award because you should spontaneously combust and die.
Wow.
Was that
Are you finished?
I just had this. I ranted at somebody on Reddit the other day because Tom made me join Reddit we have a Reddit community. No, it's okay. I actually really like it and I'm enjoying it. But I'm in this Reddit group for small businesses, and this person posts up, and it's a tangent, but I believe it's related. The person posts that they want to start hiring. They've gotten to a point in their business that they need employees to grow. And I want to give them credit for, if you go look at my posting history, you'll find the person. I want to give them credit that after they posted it, they came to the realization that really what they were looking for was a partner, not an employee. But they posted this thing that said, hey, I want an employee, but I'm really worried because I'm going to teach them trade secrets. So I want them to sign a non-compete. And how do we prevent them from joining the company and then leaving after a while? And I wrote back and I tried to be nice, and I like to believe I was, but you know, as we've heard from before, I'm just a jerk. This is the same type of thing as this monitoring, right? If you as a boss, manager, leader, whatever, if you as a boss think that the right way to ensure that your people stay with the organization and do the things you want is to somehow become vindictive and mean and overarching monitoring, then what you need to do is take a step back and recognize that you're approaching this the wrong way. And what you are doing by doing this type of monitoring, by starting a relationship with a employee, by immediately giving them a contract that says, hey, if you ever leave, you're screwed. What you're doing is you're building a foundation for the ultimate betrayal. And I mean ultimate as in ultimately they will do it, not like some, you know, Megazord ultimatum. The reality is that if you put that level of monitoring on your employees, you are actively telling them that they should bypass what you're doing, and they're going to. Instead, like you said, Tom, there are many ways for a good leader, and I am not in any way claiming I'm a good leader. I am sure that many people at Secure Ideas will tell you I suck as a leader. but I don't suck in the way that I monitor everything they do.
Right.
But then I'm going to throw out another one that we actually just had this conversation here at Secure Ideas. I think I said this to you guys recently. We expanded our endpoint monitoring. And I want to be very clear. What we are monitoring is the system configured the way we want it to be? Is it patched? Is it stuff like that? And we actively went in and turned off any monitoring of what the employee is doing. And the reason we did that is, one, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not going to tell you I think it's an asinine thing to do and then do it myself. But on top of everything I've already said about the risks and the security and everything else like this, let me ask you a question. You have an employee and you are monitoring what they're doing because you're a hyper-vigilant monitoring manager that sucks. And you find out that your employee is cheating on their wife or their husband or their spouse or their boyfriend or girlfriend or significant other, whatever. What do you do?
Yeah.
Like, right off the bat, let's ignore the idea of telling the other person in the relationship. I'm not going there. I want to know if your behavior toward that employee is going to change. And if you say no, you're fooling yourself, right? Or you're a scumbag that cheats on their significant other also, right? Yeah. Which would imply that you were monitoring people. What else do you do? What do you do if you find that an employee has applied for another job? Exactly. Think about what you're going to do with it. And if the answer is, oh, I would ignore that, then why are you monitoring it anyways?
Yeah.
Well, I've ranted enough, I think.
No, good. Really good points, though. Yeah.
Totally. So we will see. I don't think anything's going to change here. Like, to your point, Kevin, there's always going to be, you know, a-hole owners of businesses that feel that they need to monitor people and be watching them at all times. But I would just say to people, if you work for an organization like that, you may want to think about why you're working there. Because
why did the boss just give you a new potted plant?
Exactly. Exactly.
Ooh, man, I didn't think of that one.
Oh, that's good. So I think that's all we have time for this week's show. But I did want to also mention real quick before we go, I signed up for this new service called ratethispodcast.com, which makes it really easy for you to rate and review our podcast on your favorite.
Did you give us a lot of votes, Tom?
I cannot game the system, apparently. I wanted to ask, of course, all of our listeners, if you could take a minute and go to ratethispodcast.com/sharedsecurity. It's really, it's intuitive.
We have three votes.
Yes, you're right. There's more than three, Scott, to be. But it will take you to your favorite podcast app of choice that you like to listen to this podcast on, and provide us a rating or review. We would really appreciate it. It helps us grow the podcast and attract more listeners. So that would be greatly appreciated. But of course, thank you, Scott and Kevin, for coming on the show as always, and for your ratings and review.
Tom.
Yes. And until next time, we'll talk to everyone next week. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, or leave us a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the show, visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter at SharedSec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.